For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. By the time that Jesus takes his disciples to the side of a mountain near the Sea of Galilee and preaches to them what we now call the Sermon on the Mount, he had already just spent 40 days fasting in the nearby wilderness. He had already been confronted by Satan and had returned blow for blow each attack that the enemy had leveled against him. Today, at the outset of our own 40 days, we have some words from the one who's gone before us. We have words from Jesus about fasting, and he says something to us that ought to focus our resolve for the whole season of Lent. When ye fast, be ye not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou may appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. We are told not to disfigure our faces during Lent, and yet we begin this season with ashes on our foreheads, saying, "Remember, O man, that dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." In this setting here, as we can say, among friends, we remind ourselves by this sign that life in this body will soon end, and that life must not be spent merely play-acting the role of a Christ follower. All hearts are open and all desires are known to him anyways. But I can tell you this day that no fire from heaven will fall on those who take the ashes off before they go out into the world, so that they do not appear unto men to fast. And no rewards are necessarily issued for those who keep them through the day as a witness of their faith. It's up to you, a good Anglican saying. As one might imagine, Jesus Christ is expressing here very little real interest in men and women fussing about their appearance. Jesus only speaks about appearances in so much as appearances are often connected to much deeper issues. He says, "Be not as the hypocrites." A hypocrite is a Greek word that is used or translated into English typically as actor, or it's the word they used for actor, a hypocrite. When you fast during Lent, do not be as an actor, saying with ashes and sullen faces, "All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up." Those who for their Lenten performance receive applause and awards as actors do have their full reward already. Jesus gets past the outward sign and goes inward, saying at the end of his instruction something that gets to the heart of the matter. He says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." It can be said that life in general is an exercise in removing obstacles between us and some treasure that we seek, and that the Christian life simply answers the question of which treasure is really worth our life's effort. The Christian life is a life of removing obstacles between us and God. And now the Anglican Church, and really the Catholic tradition, introduces to the Christian life many practices that make the Christian year rehearse the entire life of Christ from conception to ascension. That is, the work that God has done to remove obstacles between us and him. In the process, we rehearse again and again our own spiritual story in Christ, from baptism to maturity. In our liturgy itself, we rehearse again and again our encounter with God as sinners, the recognition of his perfection and glory, recognizing his law, seeing how short we fall, confessing our belief, confessing our sin, receiving his forgiveness, and then receiving him, departing in peace to love and serve the Lord. If you want to confess your sins and ask Jesus into your heart, we do it every week here. But a season like Lent and a day like Ash Wednesday, these are days and seasons meant for recalibration. A day when Jesus says to you at the outset of your fast, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And implicitly asks, am I still your treasure? Now, he's given us baptism and Holy Communion as a means of uniting ourselves with him, so there's no chance of removing these from our lives being any, making the way any clearer to him, that's for sure. But there is a sense in which just about anything else may, without care, be turned into a little worthless treasure, so that our hearts are not found elsewhere rather than in Christ. We remind ourselves with ashes that the time is short, and we set aside time so that all rivals to God can be reevaluated, restrained, rethought, reformed, or removed from our lives. The season of Lent is a time set aside to identify those things and develop a strategy to return them from treasure status to their rightful place. In order not to be fooling ourselves in one way or another, we must take a moment to ask ourselves honestly the question that Jesus asks today: where is your heart? Or better yet, where is your treasure? For there will your heart be also. As Christians, we may be quick to say, well, I gave my heart to Jesus, after which the question is asked, great, where is your treasure? And the answer is quickly answered, Regent's Bank. Well, perhaps almsgiving is best then, and the bank account needs to return to its rightful place from obstacle and God's rival to a tool for God's purpose. Don't fool yourself. Where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Where is your heart? Well, it is laid as St. John's was, upon the bosom of our Lord, in constant closest communion with him. Great. Where is your treasure? Well, the only time I'm really at peace is watching TV with a belly full of pizza. Okay, so food and entertainment. Well, perhaps some moderate fasting is in order from food and entertainment, and these should be returned to their proper place as nourishment for these bodies were given and recreation when our work is done, rather than as rivals to the peace of Christ. Don't fool yourself. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your heart? Well, I have given my heart to the Lord. Thanks very much. Where is your treasure? Well, to be honest, I'm only truly happy when everyone thinks well of me. And I'd be willing to play whatever role I had to, even act a role, to make sure I was respected and admired. Perhaps some increase in private prayer is in order, out of the view of anyone. Some time spent considering what God thinks of you, rather than what everyone else thinks. Your reputation needs to return to its proper position as a signpost for virtue, a side effect of virtue. And make no mistake, God is not mocked in this. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Lent is our season for reordering, reevaluating, reforming, restraining, or removing whatever has become your treasure that is not Christ. Whatever has become a rival to the peace and presence of God in you. It is the purpose of this fast that what is imitated by the filling of the belly would be made real in the filling of the Holy Spirit. That relieving the hunger of the body would be outmatched only by relieving the hunger of the soul. It is the purpose of a time of almsgiving that what is imitated only by full storehouses of money and goods would be made real in the riches of God's glory in you. It is the purpose of an extended time of prayer that what is only imaged in the fellowship between each of us would be made real to you in a deeper communion with God. But regardless of what you are able to participate in this season of Lent, and regardless of how you see best fit to observe the penitential season. Understand that it is the hope of the whole church, and it is the purpose of this Lent, that Christ will become again your treasure, so that your heart will be found in him also. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.